Hello, friends, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 29th of January. I am Paul White. It's Friday. I am going to hold off. I've got some Q&A material that I'm putting together for a long-form Friday from a couple of different Q&A sessions. We should have enough of these, I would think, every month between the monthly meetings that we're doing in various places. We should have at least enough for a long-form Friday once a month, and we're going to try to do that probably next Friday. Today, we're in Isaiah 65. Yesterday, we covered the basic context of those first 16 verses, how the Gentiles have been brought into the kingdom of God. We see Jesus as the key to that. Isaiah, of course, doesn't talk about Jesus because he doesn't exist as a man on the earth, but he is certainly the subject of the prophetic when you look at what's happening in the book of Isaiah. When you get to the 17th verse of Isaiah 65, there is a bit of a transition into the fact that we begin to introduce something that sounds both New Covenant and it sounds prophetic to us who are students of the New Testament. It sounds like this, Isaiah 65, 17, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind." Now, that is so Book of Revelation that most people would spot it as a scripture from the Book of Revelation. But as I told you yesterday, technically, Revelation is simply bringing to fruition those things which the reader of the Old Testament would have already known to be Isaiah. The new heavens and the new earth come down in what's called the New Jerusalem in the book of Revelation. But even that phrase, New Jerusalem, was not a new concept. God speaks to Israel in this moment and says, "Be glad, rejoice forever in what I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing, her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people." This is a Jerusalem that God is creating that he calls a new heavens and a new earth. Now, lest you think that that is purely in the future, when Paul writes the letter to the church at Galatia in Galatians chapter 4, he compares Hagar and Sarah as an allegory of two covenants, one old covenant, one new covenant. He says in Galatians 4:24, these are symbolic. These are two covenants, one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. What is the Jerusalem above? Jerusalem above is the Jerusalem created by God that is symbolic of the new covenant. Remember, Paul's the one that laid that out as being two covenants. Well, what Jerusalem is of above? Isaiah 65, 17, and 18. "Behold, I create new heavens, new earth. The former is not remembered. Be glad, rejoice forever in what I create. Behold, I create Jerusalem." And then as you proceed onward through that chapter of Isaiah 65, you start to see the qualities that are going to exist in that place, the New Jerusalem. Now, if you take New Jerusalem text to mean someday there's literally going to be a city that comes out of the heavens and literally sets on the earth, and it will be called New Jerusalem, and then all of these things literally will happen in it, then you're going to struggle with the next verse. Listen to verse 20. "No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed." Did you catch that? If New Jerusalem is literally a place in a literal time out in our future that is in some millennial reign or post-millennial reign, what in the world are people dying for? According to that theology, and I mean, many of you, like myself, was raised in that theology. According to that theology, people wouldn't physically be dying anymore. So what does this talk about? A child will die at 100. If a sinner made it to 100, it'd be 100 cursed years. Don't leave the allegorical. It started out allegorical. Paul thought it was allegorical in Galatians 4. Don't leave the allegoric to try to make it the literal. And here's another reason why. As you finish Isaiah 65, listen to verse 25. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Now people have thought that this was a prophecy of a literal time in the future when there will be no more carnivores, when wolves and lambs will feed together and lion and straw. But again, don't let it stop being allegory. And you go, well, how do you know it's allegory? Because it says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Go to the book of Hebrews. That holy mountain is not some place out in your future. It's some present possession. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched, that burned with fire and blackness and darkness and tempest. Verse 22. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, the general assembly and church of the firstborn, registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the Spirit. Do I need to read on? Listen, it's to me, it's pretty obvious. The author of Hebrews is grabbing the holy mountain of Isaiah 65, 25, and telling his audience, you are already on that mountain. So what's that say? It says you are already experiencing New Jerusalem. You are already in the place where it exists in a different system. It's not only the strong survive. It's not dog eat dog. It's not do what you can to get ahead. That world, wolves eat lambs and lions eat meat. But in this world, things are different. Things don't exist the same way in the kingdom as they exist in the kingdoms of this earth. And those are blessed promises. So I'm not trying to take away people's confidence in the actual stories. I'm trying to restore our ability to see these things as meaning more than just a story. Allegory speaks larger than literal. Don't take it the other way around and let it say what it needs to say and let it say it in this hour. All right, tomorrow on the 30th of January, we'll introduce the Sunday sermon and we will close our study from Isaiah with another passage, this one in chapter 66. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.